We'll begin. We'll begin with a question for you students. Do you have any higher aspirations for yourself? Like becoming a doctor? Or owning a business someday? Or seeking political office? Would you like to be the mayor of your hometown? Something bigger than that. I'm thinking of recent elections. Congressman, senator, the governor of your state. Personally, thinking of myself, that sounds like a lot of work to get elected. And there's always a downside when politics are involved. Well, what if, through no seeking on your part, no doing by you whatsoever, you got to be king, queen, the ruler of everything, and not just for a day, for a lifetime, for all eternity? This is not fantasy thinking on my part. This is your reality, assured to you and all believers in Christ, in the prophecy of Revelation 20 that I shared with you last time. Not only are we safe from the dragon monster through the victory of Jesus, we also have an incredible elevation in our status, and you should listen to the scene, try to identify where you fit. John writes in verses 4 through 6, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The images of Revelation are obviously symbolic, and also the use of numbers. When the apostle writes several times in this chapter, 1,000 years, it does not refer to an actual millennium, a literal 1,000-year time span. Rather, it refers symbolically to a very long period of time from our point of view, but also a complete, predetermined amount of time from God's point of view. And you can equate it to the entire New Testament era, from the first coming of Christ to the second, however long that may be. Now, for you personally, this 1,000 years is right now, during your lifetime. You are in the New Testament era, after all. Right now, as believers, you rule with Christ, a spiritual king or monarch. But did you notice another role defined, specified in verse 6? You are also serving as the priests of God. You, I, a priest of Christ. Let's be clear on the role of priesthood as it applies to each one of us. It's not a matter of animal sacrifices at the temple or burning incense within the holy place. It centers on the concept that you have a position between God and any other person. You serve as a go-between, and it's going to be a two-way street. For example, when you pray to God on behalf of fellow believers or anybody else, you serve as an effective priest in that instance because God hears your prayer. Now, turn the direction around the other way, and the same thing will apply. The priest of old would speak God's blessing on the people of Israel at the end of the service. You bring God's blessing to people when you teach the word to children, or you share the gospel with an unchurched person, or you bring the comfort of the Bible to a fellow Christian in distress. Any of that, all of that, I hope you realize, is a very high aspiration for yourself. Something which God causes to be real through an act of His grace. And it's found in verse 6. Blessed and holy is He who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. As believers, you are subject to the first death, which either is our state of being spiritually dead before conversion, or physical death, which applies to all people with very few exceptions. But as believers in Christ, you are not subject to the second death, the suffering of hell, which the first resurrection has saved you from. Now, you hear that word resurrection, don't think of judgment day when the bodies rise from the grave. The first resurrection happens at your conversion, when God causes you to be spiritually alive with faith that He created, like a spiritual resurrection from the dead. From that point onward, you live with God and you rule with Christ, even now. Probably this kingship we have is similar to the priesthood, and we can tie it to verse 4, the word judgment. When we rule with Christ now, we represent Him. We are then an extension of His ruling, His judging. It happens through the Word, the application of law and gospel. When believers proclaim the law, for instance, it extends His judgment of guilty on all sin and also impenitence. Likewise, in the preaching of the gospel, through believers, we extend His judgment of not guilty in the declaration of God's forgiveness. All right, let's think about the big picture and view it from the perspective of judgment day. There is no greater authority on earth than using the means of grace. No higher outcome either attached to it. Unlike the work done by doctors, business owners, politicians, your role as priests and kings will matter for other people from a last day perspective. Think about it. The forgiveness of sins delivered, then producing and preserving faith, is the only thing to cause others to escape like you have from the monster and away from the second death. Thus, it is the greatest work one could do, the highest goal one could be a part of achieving. So, students, as you sort out what it is you're going to do in your life, what occupation you're going to pursue, please keep your focus on the greatest role you already have. You are priests of God, co-ruling with Christ in this life and the next. Amen. Our worship closes today with the singing of hymn 244, stanzas 2 and 3. of hymn 244.